I suspect that most of us have experienced some spiritual deserts in our lives. Maybe we found our source of nourishment drying up and we were struggling spiritually. Perhaps we found ourselves merely going through the motions, promoting a Christianity without Jesus Christ. The psalmist was apparently going through some sort of spiritual desert when he penned these words. Psalm 31, beginning at verse 9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man. Out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. I would say that psalmist was in a kind of spiritual desert at that point. What do we do when we come to these spiritual deserts in our lives? How do we go about spiritual renewal? How do we as a church stay alive and vibrant? What I'd like to suggest for a starting place and some answers to these questions can be found in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel has been called the visual aids prophet. He lived around 600 B.C. His contemporaries in preaching God's word were Daniel and Jeremiah. When Nebuchadnezzar brought his army to Jerusalem, he took the city, and Ezekiel was taken captive and carried far away from his home to another land, a strange land called Babylon. Ezekiel, whose name means God is strong, can be divided into three parts. Chapter 1 to 24 are about the fall of Jerusalem. Chapters 25 through 32 are about the foes of Judah. And then chapters 33 through 48 are about the future of Judah. And each of these sections has a theme. The fall of Jerusalem has as its theme the condemnation of Judah. The middle section about the foes of Jerusalem has as its theme the condemnation of the nations. And the final section about the future of Jerusalem has as its theme the consolation of God's people. Chapter 37, where we'll be studying this morning, falls into that third section, the future of God's people, about the consolation of God's people. We're going to reread some of the text that was read this morning. Chapter 37, verses 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Well, the scene perhaps reminds Ezekiel of his own nation, Jerusalem, in ruins, much like this valley that he witnessed. They have been in exile now for a number of years. Verse 3a, he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can we restore life to this dead valley? Can these bones live? What a question. There you are, standing in the middle of the biggest accumulation of the deadest bones that you can imagine, stretching as far as the eye can see, and God asks you, can these bones come back to life? The answer surely is self-evident, isn't it? The response of the prophet is noteworthy. Now, I expected Ezekiel to say, no, there's no way that this valley can be restored. These bones can't possibly come to life again. No amount of medical or orthopedic work that we can do can restore these bones. But Ezekiel says in verse 3, the second part of that verse, and I answered, O Lord God, you know. The prophet responds with a brilliant answer that returns the ball to God's court. Lord God, only you know the answer to that. Maybe Ezekiel recalled a line from the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32. See now that I am He, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. The Lord God said to preach to this valley, this earless, eyeless graveyard of very dry bones. The very dry bones point is to stress the impossibility, humanly speaking, for them to come alive. Then verse 4 of chapter 37, again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skins and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Now notice what happens as Ezekiel is preaching. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. The bones have been covered with flesh, but the bodies have no breath. And God enters again. Beginning at verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And right before his eyes, Ezekiel watches the army of dead bones become the army of the living God, and the bone maker has completed his task. What is the story about? What does it say? I know that Ezekiel is a long way from Mobile in distance and time. What's the meaning? What's the point? God's message is that even in places of death, God can bring about life. A nation as dead as Judah can be brought back to life. God's people need to be taught to look not east, not west, not north, not south, but up. Ezekiel 37, beginning verse 11, explains the vision. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. The nation is dead like very dry bones. They are scattered all over Babylon as these bones are scattered all over the valley, and God is promising here a deliverance from the oppressor. But what is the message for us? What's the point here? On March 4th, 2018, some of us may feel dry spiritually, like that valley of dry bones. What does the text say to us? Well, it reminds us in a very clear way that spiritual renewal begins with God. And God is still at work today. He still gives life to dry bones. You've probably heard the old story about the farmer taking his harvest to market, and he loaded his vegetables on the back of his wagon. He hooked up his horse, was going down the road. And on his way, he came upon a poor farmer who had loaded his potatoes into a sack and was carrying them over his shoulder and walking. The one in the wagon stopped and offered him a ride. He accepted it and got on the back. And about a mile down the road, the farmer driving the wagon thought he heard the farmer in the back breathing heavily as if he were still carrying his burden. So he stopped the wagon, looked around, and the poor farmer still had the sack over his shoulder. He had gotten on the wagon, but he hadn't given up his load. Not looking to God as a source of spiritual renewal may be our sack of potatoes. It may be our greatest problem, putting our self-sufficiency above God's sufficiency, putting our need of control above God's control. Spiritual renewal comes from God. Now, let me suggest three ways that we can make ourselves open to God's working in our lives. One way is by being open to His Word. God told Ezekiel to preach, and God still works through His Word. And so I need to ask all of us here this morning, are we in Scripture? Are we really hearing God speak to us? Are we drinking deeply from the water of life? Are we eating heartily from the bread of life? Our greatest opponent sometimes is not our intelligence, but it's our complacency. And those of us who do not regularly feed upon the living Word are missing an opportunity for God to work in us. So the first way that we can make ourselves open to God working in our lives is by being open to His Word, being in the Word, studying it, meditating upon it, allowing the Word to take up residence in our hearts. Let me quickly pass on five ways to better understand the Word. Number one, we need to pray over the Word. Begin your study with prayer. And then ponder over that Word. Meditate. Reflect upon the Word. And then we need to personalize the Word. The psalmist talked about how he had treasured God's Word in his heart because he did not want to sin against the Lord. So we've got to personalize that Word. Then we've got to go out there and practice that Word, put that Word into action. And then we've got to be open and looking for opportunities to proclaim the Word. And so the first step towards spiritual renewal is being open to God's Word. But I believe a second way that we can make ourselves open to God's working in our lives is through the avenue of prayer. Sometimes we may use prayer to tell God what to do. We come with our list of demands. Prayer, in some ways, is a self-emptying act where we turn our life over to God. I like the story of the little boy who was watching a sculptor at work, and he was working on a large block of marble. He was hammering, chiseling, cutting, polishing. And the little boy didn't know what was going on. He couldn't tell what the sculptor was making. As time went by, gradually the form of the lion began to emerge, and he could see the eyes and the teeth and the claws. And the little boy asked the sculptor, "Tell me one thing. How did you know there was a lion inside that block of marble?" Well, somewhere in prayer is the lion of God. We may not see it, we may not believe it, but there, it's there. It is there. And so I ask all of us, are we praying to God about spiritual renewal? Are we asking God to renew our faith? Are we asking and seeking on our knees in prayer to God for His aid in spiritual renewal? There's also the story about a father and his son walking through the woods, and they come to a little stream, and there was a large rock there. And the son said, "Dad, do you think I can pick up that rock?" And the father said, "I think you can if you will use all your available strength. I believe you can do it." And so the boy started working on the rock, and he got a stick to help him, but he just couldn't budge it at all. And the boy said, "Dad, I think you were wrong. I just cannot move that rock." And the father put his arm around the boy and he said, "No, son, you didn't use all of your strength. You didn't ask me to help you." Are we asking God to help us with spiritual renewal? Or are we trying to do it on our own? So we can open up ourselves to God working in our lives through study of His Word, through prayer, and thirdly, to keep ourselves open to God working in our lives by being with each other. God calls us together because He knows we need each other when we are together. We are the body of Christ. We are connected. We are bound together by our allegiance to Jesus Christ, and we can help each other toward spiritual renewal. Hebrews 10 urges people to stimulate one another to love and good works, and he relates that to the act of our assembling together. My main point this morning is that individual renewal, church renewal, begins with God. And I believe this is a powerful section of Scripture. There's much for us to learn in it for our encouragement and development as servants of God in trying to reach out to our world. God's power is available to us through study of His Word, through prayer, and through being together. I read about a fellow who bought a Rolls Royce, and he was going through the manual to see how much horsepower the motor had, but he couldn't find it. And he went to the dealer and he asked, "How much horsepower does this motor have?" The dealer said, "Well, the manufacturer did not put that information in the manual." Well, the fellow wrote the manufacturer demanding to know how much horsepower, and if you don't tell me, I'm going to get me a lawyer. Well, it all became public. There was a newspaper article, and finally the Rolls-Royce company in England said, "On a certain day, we'll send you a telegram and give you the answer." Well, the telegram arrived, and it had one word: adequate. So that was how much horsepower that particular motor had. Adequate. Well, God's power is adequate. It's more than adequate. That power that works in us, Paul said, that we cannot even think or imagine how much God is able to do, you know, for us. And so I've suggested three ways to tap into that power is through the study of His Word, the avenue of prayer, and through our being together as God's people. Life comes from the Lord, who uses His Word to bring life to the dead. The prophet Zechariah said in chapter 4 and verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Do you need new life infused into you this morning? Do you need to respond by obedience to the Lord? God, of course, is in the business of giving new life to people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And I love part of David's prayer in Psalm 51. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." God, would you renew that steadfast spirit within each of our hearts who have gathered here this morning? Again, if you need to begin your walk with God through faith, repentance, baptism, if you need to come back and rededicate your life to God, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if we can help you this morning in any way, would you please come as we stand together and sing?